Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Disclosure Network with Nick Curto. Nick is kind of like a lucky charm, and we tried to see if we can go on the air tonight because Blog Talk Radio has been experiencing some problems, and with Nick coming, the show happened. So thank you, Nick.
I'm very happy that it's going well, and I feel bad for the people who were experiencing some technical difficulties. That's especially when you're planning a program and you're getting ready for it and the energy is high, and then something technical. We've been very lucky, though. Over the years, it hasn't been a big problem at all. So knock on wood. Knock on wood on this one.
I will knock on wood. And again, I thank you, and I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
We've got a dynamite show. And I just wanted to say that the very, very strange occurrence when we had that earthquake in this whole huge region. And it was really, it's been a topic of many people, as you can imagine right now. I was in my apartment on the 25th floor in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, my body was shaking, but I wasn't conscious that the room was shaking because I was on a bed and it was cushioned. And so I thought, oh my God, am I having a stroke? Am I having a heart?
Oh, no.
I mean, it seemed like it was just me. And for a few seconds, I was thinking, oh, my God, is this it? You know? And then I realized the whole room was shaking, and it lasted a bit. It wasn't just a second or two. It went on for a bit. And,
Almost a minute.
I finally realized it was an earthquake. You know? And I know that we're in New Jersey, though, you also had a very bad shaking.
Yes, the earthquake originated in New Jersey, and it hit the entire Northeast. I was on my computer, and all of a sudden, I saw my furniture dancing around, and the house was like shaking. So I've been through earthquakes before, nothing like this, but I've been through more minor earthquakes. So I identified it, and it just lasted for a little under a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. They said there's a possibility that we will have some more shaking possible. They didn't say it was going to happen, but they said don't be surprised if there's a little more follow-up on this later on. So we'll just have to wait and see. Anyhow, I'm glad that's over with. And the only other time I've been in an earthquake was when I was in California and Los Angeles, and I was near an airport, and all of a sudden, the ground was really violently shaking. That's the first time I've ever experienced anything like that. And you just think, what should I do? Should I run? Should I go on the ground and lie flat? You know, what do I do? I'm sure that everybody was feeling the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've been through earthquakes. I didn't know what to do when my furniture was dancing either. I didn't know, should I try to go downstairs? Should I get under other furniture?
right. What next?
But anyhow,
that certainly was a topic for discussion all week. So anyhow, the program. Hercules, please let me know about 6 minutes before we finish our program, just so that I can do my last little goodbye talk, and then you have a little bit of time to do things you want to say. So I'll say 6 minutes if you would be so kind.
Thank you, Nick. I will most certainly do so.
Okay, here we go. So the program is Disclosure Network with Nick Curto, and I'm Nick Curto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York. DNNY is a grassroots organization now celebrating our 26th year. My God, it has been that long, of providing two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan for our members. We focus on cutting-edge UFO ET issues of all kinds, a paranormal phenomenon, as well as many important and related subjects from a wide variety of sources as we go deep into these exciting and sometimes very, very misunderstood subjects that the mainstream press will not talk about or ever really discuss. Our members who are now worldwide, I am very happy to report, do intensive investigative research into these various cutting-edge topics and share that information with our group at our meetings and with our internet followers. We are currently doing a Zoom meeting on the third Thursday of each month throughout the year, and that goes from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And that's a meeting for our members to bring up what's on their mind. It's a very low-key format, and I love that particular Zoom. In addition to that, we produce our face-to-face major monthly meetings the first Sunday of each month, and that time is from 1 to 3 o'clock, with four different types of meetings. Now, this is brand new. We're now doing four different types of meetings on the first Sunday of each month. We produce either a meeting in the West Village of New York City at the center on 13th Street, West 13th Street, or we might have a meeting on Zoom for our major meeting on the first Sunday of the month. And two other types of meeting formats that we are now doing will be picnics in Central Park near the Met Museum. Those are a lot of fun. People attend, they bring their whatever their beverage and what they're going to be nibbling on, and blankets or chairs. And we have a beautiful tree, very favorite place where we go. It's right behind the Met, right near the Cleopatra's obelisk, very near, close to there. And the other type of meeting that we have now is a wonderful all-American diner on West 34th Street. And that's informal. We will have like a brunch, and we will have perhaps a topic that we will be discussing. So now we've got four different ways of meeting on the first Sunday of each month. The DNN town meetings, where a particular subject is chosen, and that's one of the things we do. Now, our motto, and that has happened right from day one, is, and I quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. And we have available to everyone worldwide the DNNY News Blast email service focusing on the topics of special interest. Those are very cutting edge, and that's for our members. For membership information, to anyone out there who'd like that, I'm going to give you an email, my email, and if you let me know you have interest in that, I will give you the form to fill out. The email address is nicknyny1, and that's the numeral one, not O-N-E, but the numeral one, at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, nicknyny1. At gmail.com. Our website is www.dnny.info, I-N-F-O. Okay, with all that said, let's get right to it. Our featured guest for this DNNY podcast in April 2024, a very warm welcome to a good friend and colleague, Catherine Chappie. Catherine, great to have you on the program.
Hi, Vic. Thank you so much for inviting me. We really looking forward to our talk tonight. So thank you. So nice to
be
here.
Oh, I've been waiting. Very, very excited for this particular program, and it's great to have you on it. I've attended a few of your special Zoom meetings, and I just want to tell you and the folks out there that they are informative and deeply interesting, really are. And I compliment you for producing such a quality Zoom that you have. Have you been doing that a long time?
Well, actually, I started that in person in 2016 at my local library. And we used to meet in person. Yeah. And it started out as a, I called it, UFO ET experiencers. And that was once a month at my local library. And it had a really nice turnout. And, you know, we would get together and talk about our experiences. A lot of people were having UFO or ET experiences. Some people Many people were having a lot of paranormal experiences, psychic, mediumship type experiences. And then when the library closed down during COVID, I started having them on Zoom, and they kind of evolved over time into three separate meetings, just kind of like yours. You have the four different types of meetings. Right now I have three different meetings, and the first one is the first Tuesday of the month, and that's called Safe Space Sharing Group. And that's where we meet on Zoom. They're all on Zoom right now. And we talk about any kind of, you know, spiritually transformative type experiences that we've had. So that can be NDEs, which are near-death experiences, mediumship experiences, kind of like paranormal type experiences, UFO, ET experiences, just out of body experiences. I mean, it goes on and on, you know, all the different topics that we can talk about. And it is for experiencers, and also for people that are very open to those kind of experiences. So, and then on the second Tuesday of the month on Zoom is the UFO ET Experiencers group. And that's where I have a speaker that comes in, and they talk and they share about their journey and their story and how, you know, everything kind of evolved for them. And then after they share, we have questions and answers from the people in the Zoom group, and they get to talk directly to the speaker and ask them questions or just share insights about how they've been affected by their share. And then the fourth Tuesday of the month, we have Spiritual Experiencers group that meets on Zoom, and that is the same format where we have a speaker and then questions and answers from the people in the Zoom group, or, you know, insights and feedback. So it's really nice. It's been a really nice way for people that have felt very isolated with these experiences to be able to be in a room full of people that are also having them or also have had these experiences, and they don't feel judged for maybe the first time in life, you know, and being able to express, you know, what they've gone through. So it's really been nice to be able to do that with people.
You know, so what you just said, I hear at my meetings too, and that is I feel at ease with the people that are here, that we have a common subjects to discuss and to explore. And I've heard people say that I don't feel comfortable at all telling my wife or husband or partner or my children or my relatives, my neighbors. I really feel very uncomfortable. And so I felt very isolated. Just like you said, I felt very isolated. And then when they come across what you have or my meetings, for example, they take a deep breath and say, oh, this, I can now talk about it. And it relieves a great pressure that they have. And that pressure doesn't go away. It just simply builds. And so, right, I'm sure that you've heard that many, many times, but it's a very important thing that we do that.
Yeah. It's very healing too for people to be able to express themselves and be who they are without that feeling of judgment or, you know, worry and fear about, you know, a lot of people that have had these kind of experiences and, you know, near-death experiencers and people that have had profound spiritual experiences. It's a very, very high divorce rate because the spouse just a lot of times cannot deal with the transformation of the person. And it just, you know, and there's a lot of things that go into it, I'm sure, but there is a very high divorce rate, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff that goes with it, you know, behind the scenes where people say, oh, I wish I had those experiences. And then, you know, it does come with some pretty tough challenges also, you know, in relation to relationships and being able to be oneself and, you know, and all of that. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Feeling isolated is a very, very difficult thing for anybody to comprehend and to experience. And
right.
That can go on for months or years, as you well know. And
yep.
When we've had people, I've said, do you feel comfortable sharing what happened to you, whatever that happens to be, and they go into it, a lot of times you can see this pressure, this release of tension. And some of them, both men and women, have cried and needed a moment to catch their breath, because this runs very, very deep. And as you know, you're talking about things that you might not easily be able to explain at all, yet you've experienced it yourself. Either you've seen it, you've heard it, or both, or felt something that was just something that you've never experienced before, and you don't know how to deal with it. On a personal level, I've had some experiences, and I always listen and look for people when they're describing what happened to them to see if any of that parallels to what's happened to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. And occasionally they will say something that someone in the group will go, oh my God, that's exactly what happened to me. Or that's what I was seeing. You're describing something that I saw in the sky, or I saw in my room. Again, some of this is very, very personal, as you know. And the confirmation that they're not the only one, and that there are other people, and that they're out there to share that, that's a very, as you said, healing. It's a very healing experience to have. And I really think that we need, one, more of these kinds of groups, not just nationally, but worldwide. I really deeply think that. And I'm going to say something to you, is that knowing the quality of what happens at your Zoom meetings, I wish at some point one of the networks or one of the educational networks would run you as a weekly program. I think that extension would be amazing if that were to happen. I don't know if you're up for that or not, but I just think that is so important, and more people need to know that this exists.
Yeah. I the more the better, you know. Because we're all in this together, and I think, you know, there's strength in numbers, and we help each other. And you know what I've found too, that sometimes people will come every month to the meetings. They're like regular people, and then you know you'll have people that stop in. You know, you won't see them for a couple months, but then they'll pop in, and then there'll be people that just come one time and they just need to hear or just need to share. And then they're on their way and they're on to something else, but they got what they needed, you know. And so I think there is such a need for it. There's such a misunderstanding about you know what goes on with people, and especially in the mental health field, the medical field, they're still really not embracing this. And I think that is starting to change a little bit. There are people I am noticing that are coming into these groups, and they are from, you know, there's some people that are, you know, in the therapy world and the medical field, but they're few and far between, you know. But I think we are making a dent. I also cater for IANS, which is International Association of Near-Death Studies. And so I facilitate and moderate for them. I've been doing that since 2020. And so I'm seeing and meeting a lot of different people. You know, they have sharing groups also on Sundays, and they also have them on Thursdays, and they have topic sharing groups. They just asked me to facilitate. I started in January on a monthly basis for them, UFO ET NDE sharing group, which is really exciting because now, you know, the International Association of Near Death Studies is now speaking about it publicly. And they are saying that there is a commonality between near-death experiences, near-death-like experiences, and ET, UFO, ET experiencers that often have very profound awakenings through their experiences. So I'm really excited that they are embracing that this topic along with, you know, all of the other topics. So, but yeah.
You know, one thing go ahead.
One thing
I was going to say, too, to add to what you're saying is that one new, at least to me, on a personal level, one new level of topic is not just seeing or feeling or having a device implanted in you. We've had people that have showed where those implants are. A few people have actually had them taken out, and it was something that should not have been in anybody's body but was there, a very foreign kind of substance. And we've seen marks on people, too. We've done all that. And but one of the new, at least to me, one of the new areas that is of special interest in all these amazing subjects is that there's different levels of, time, of different levels of being aware of what's around you. That it's for a long time I thought that, well, in regular time, the time that we are with our clocks and our calendars and so forth, that things were in the immediate present. But that's not always true at all. And that really caught me a little bit by surprise because I didn't know too much about that subject, and that there's different layers, right? And I'm sure you've heard some people say that it's a time warp or it's a time displacement, or these people are from the past or the present or the future.
Right.
And that, right? That to me is an amazing new. To me, it's a new area that needs to be much more explored. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've heard people that have had experiences and they literally time stops here while they're having these experiences on craft beings, having downloads, and then once they're done with whatever's happening with the beings, they're back in their body, and it felt like they were meeting with the beings for, you know, maybe 45 minutes or an hour, and they're back in their body, and they have not missed a beat because whatever was playing on the radio was right at the same time as when they left, you know, to go have this meeting with the beings. So they can bend time, and they can, you know, they can manipulate time and space and there's so many things they can do that are just so unusual that we're not used to in this 3G reality. You know, it's just so interesting. They can also do a lot of things with light, and they can come through in so many creative ways with light. That I've noticed myself with my own experiences and the different beings that have come through. So they're masters at, being able to manipulate time and space and light and how they communicate.
Right. Some people have said they felt as though that all, and I've heard the statement that all ETs from various time levels, as well as universes, are basically friendly. And other people have said that is not at all the case. There are good, bad, and indifferent in this view. How do you feel about that?
I think that there can be a mix, but I think that as long as you are working with the highest and best intentions and you're connecting in with source, the light, with all God, right? But everybody has a different name for that. It could be the universe. As long as you're working in this for the highest and best intentions and for the highest and best good, I think that you're going to attract whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're intending to work with. Now, that's not to say that there won't be at times, you know, a little trickster energy that tries to get in, because that, you know, had that happen myself. But as long as we stand in our power and our truth, know that, you know, if you hear them, you feed them. that's what I've learned through my journey. And you just, you know, tell them that they're not welcome here and they need to go on or go to the light, and you can call in your guides and ask them to assist them. There's just so many ways. But yeah, I don't fear the any contact that I've had has been really beautiful and loving and expansive for me. And I have had interference. I have had different things happen where, you know, I'm aware of an energy that's there that is not there for the right reasons. And I've had to do different things to, you know, get it to leave. And it's pretty simple, but sometimes that's what you have to do when you do this kind of work. You know, it comes with the territory. But I wouldn't be afraid of it. I think when people get together, like a lot of people, you know, they get together and they do CE5s in a group, and they, you know, they call in the crafts and stuff like that. I think, you know, they're getting together with, you know, in goodwill, and they're, you know, they're focusing on the heart, right? And they're sending out these loving vibrations, loving thoughts, and then they're asking to meet their families, their cosmic families. So I don't think that, you know, the ones that they're connecting with are harmful in any way. Yeah.
On a personal level, could you share perhaps a couple of instances that you have personally had that maybe it's from the beginning, perhaps as a one way to start, of maybe the first time that something happened that seemed paranormal, that something is, what is going on? Can you recall something from the very beginning?
Yeah. Well, so for me, my story I think it started in childhood, you know, because I had a lot of experiences as a kid that let me know that I'm not just this body. I was born very premature. And that was a day when they believed that if you held a premature baby, you would do harm to it. So I spent the first month of my life in an incubator, and nobody told me.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Talk about isolation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But I've come to understand through my own journey that I was never alone, and I was always with my spiritual family. You know, I was more out of my body than I was in, okay, my consciousness. So, and I also had some outer body experiences as a child, where I was viewing from the corner of my room up high in the ceiling, like a couple of traumatic events that happened to me, because I was so scared. And I also had these frozen experiences where I'd wake up in the morning and I felt like I couldn't move my body. And there was a presence next to me, and I was really scared. And I had been raised in a home that was traditionally Catholic, and they really talked a lot in those days about hell, and, you know, you go to church so you don't go to hell. So there was all this fear around, you know, going to hell. And so I had a lot of fear as a kid, you know, as a young kid. But then, you know, even though I had that fear when that being was next to me in the room, there was also like an early understanding for me as a child that we're all from the same place. Like, you know, if, you know, God made all of us, why would God say, you know, only certain people are going to be able to feel God's love when they die and other people will go to hell. It didn't make sense to me from a young age. So that was some of my earlier experiences that just kind of let me know that I'm not, that I wasn't just this body. And then as I got older, I had some experiences where I saw beings in my room, and they were little. They were little beings. They weren't the grays, but they were short, and they were just kind of, they were very different. You know, they had, like, bigger heads, and they were, like, more white, and they were all around my bed. And I wasn't afraid. I was not afraid at all. They didn't take me or anything. I just remember being aware of them. And then I started having a lot of mediumship experiences where I was seeing spirit or feeling or sensing or smelling, like my grandfather's cigar, if I would talk about my grandfather and spirit. And then a bunch of things happened where I ended up opening up to my mediumship. I was seeing the spirit world. And a friend of mine who I worked with, unfortunately, he committed suicide in a horrific way. And this whole thing happened where at work, he came to me in a dream. It was a visitation. And he smiled at me and he told me he was okay and he was at peace and he was happy. And then when I went to work the next day, I told the guys at work that I saw him, that he, you know, came to me in a dream, and they just, like, made fun of him, and it was just horrible. So I was explaining that to somebody, and as I was explaining it to him, I was so angry, you know, that they would talk about him in that way. I was at a diner in a parking lot, and as I was saying this to the person, you know, explaining the story, he walked right in front of me in a group of people and looked over at me, and I was stunned because he looked just like a physical you and I, you know, he didn't look like a spirit. So that really got me on a quest to learn more about my mediumship, and I ended up in the spiritualist church. And once I started to develop my mediumship and learned how to meditate, that's when the floodgates opened for me. And I started to see different beings in my meditation. I had a huge awakening where I was meeting my spirit guides and just so many different things. But yeah, the first being that I saw was a being from a different dimension or planet in my meditation was a feline being. And this being was just, I knew it wasn't a cat because it was wearing a robe. It was very tall. It had this beautiful energy. It was very heart-centered, and just I felt all this love beaming at me when I was in the presence of this being. And so that was the first one that, you know, I really remember, besides those beings that were around my bed and the earlier memory of the being in my room. But as an adult, you know, the feline beings. And then that was the year that everything just kind of really opened up, and I had all kinds of UFOs. I was seeing, you know, flying over my house, and they were appearing in my room, in my home, and in my consciousness. And yeah, I mean, it was an incredible time. You know, that was in 2016, 2017. I was like meeting my lineage. It felt like my family. There were so many different types of beings that were coming and introducing themselves to me, like, and every time it would happen, I was so happy to meet them. And they don't look like the ones that you typically would think of, with the big gray heads and those big black slanty eyes. You know, they're all different types of beings. So I was really just taken back by the different looks of them, you know, and how interesting they are, and just the love that they have for us. So that's what was happening back in 2016 and 2017. And they started to do a lot of things where I could actually track, or not track, but document, you know, the actual physical things that were happening. So they would leave me very creative ways of showing me, yeah, we were here, we were here. And one of the things that they would do is I would be waking up in the morning and I'd be like seeing, or, you know, having a conversation with one of them, and then I would go in the bathroom, and on my bathroom rug, there would be like a face of one of them that I had just seen in my mind's eye as I'm, you know, waking up, or if I was channeling, because I channel a collective, and sometimes I would see different beings, and then, you know, they would again show up on the rug in my bathroom. So they just have this way of being really fun and creative and showing themselves through the different types of phenomena that I've been able to capture on videos and pictures and yeah. So I know I just said a lot. I've got to pause.
No, that's wonderful to hear that and to hear that description. Really is very helpful, I think, not only for me but for the audience out there. That's excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Do you remember of any questions that you might have been asked when you've experienced beings of very different natures, very different looks? Were there any questions that they asked you specifically, anything that you could recall?
Well, I mean, they were just happy that I could see them and that I was not afraid of them. And I was more asking that, like, I was curious about them, like, why are they here and what do they want? Like, why are they visiting me? What do they want me to know, you know?
Right, of course.
Yeah, so I think it was more of them, like me understanding my connection to them and why they are, you know, why they are appearing. So from what I've learned is that, you know, these are all different types of beings that, and we all have connections to these different beings. It's just that we don't remember them. Right. So I've had lifetimes with all these different interdimensional beings. And so during this period of time in my life, there was an opening where they were able to communicate with me and show me. And, you know, some of them, like the, you know, the feline beings, for one, I was asking them, like, who are you? There was a lot of activity, and that there were these lights in my trees. And so I would go out there at night and I would, you know, talk to them and film them and stuff. And then I would ask, like, who are you? And at one point they said, we are you in the future. Like, and then they said, we are you and you are us. So, like, we are one. And so I understood that to me. Yeah, that, like, we're all connected, you know, but I'm actually able, for some reason, I'm able to see them. They're actually able to appear. Right. The other thing is that they can appear and then they can disappear very quickly, you know. So that, mm-hmm. that is one
yep.
thing that I have learned about the crafts and the different technology that they use. In the lights in the trees that I was able to video and capture on video, I was able to slow down the video and look at it frame by frame. And then when I would look at it, I would pull up the pictures, and I could see faces inside the different crafts. And, you know, some of them were very meaningful to me because there was a lion being in one, and he was like cheek to cheek with a little fairy. And then above that, this was in like a green orb shape in the trees that I had captured, was my kitten. I had a little kitten at the time, and he was alive, but he was in the right above the orb that I had captured in the tree with the fairy and the lion being. And I just thought that was so amazing. I was dumbfounded. But the thing about the lion being and the fairy is, a week before, I had went to a group of spiritualists that we were giving each other messages. So we sat in circle, and the one lady took us all on a journey, like a guided meditation. And she told us to see our Akashic Records book and to visualize, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of our meditation. and my book was up on a podium, and I saw the book, and it opened up to this certain page, and underneath the podium on the bottom was a fairy and a lion being. And that was the week before the crafts showed up in my trees where I booked her, and there they are in the... So anyway, the fairy, she had these big shears in her hands. They were like the shears that you use to like chop, you know, overgrown grass or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So she had a pair in her hand, and I said, well, what are those for? And she goes, we're going to be weeding. And I thought, oh, okay, we're going to be weeding. And sure enough, like after that, that is when there was a whole bunch of healing, like this tremendous healing journey that I undertook within my own life and my own consciousness of clearing out things that were no longer, you know, helpful to me, and breaking old patterns that had been in my family lineage for you know, eons of time. And so it was really, they were helping me, you know, they I feel like they were here, and they still are, you know, they helped me through like some of the most challenging aspects of my life. And so I just feel like they're here to help, you know. And they're very loving and creative and fun. So to me, it just feels like an old family member or an old friend that you used to hang out with, and then, you know, and they're back, and you're like, oh my God, you know, it's just, that's the feeling I have, you know, like, oh, remember when we used to blah, blah, blah. But that, you know, it's just that heart connection. And yeah, so they've done a lot of things like that, you know, just to let me know that, yes, it's them. Yes, I did experience that. Yes, you know, it's us. We're here. yeah. So.
Well, that absolutely resonates to me also. I've had many, many times throughout my life a feeling of acknowledgement. There's been times when I've seen a UFO in the sky, and it was undeniable. It was not anything from this planet. It was not. And there were times when, in some cases, the craft went in my direction. It could have gone left, right, or back, but it went
right
in my direction and towards me. And in some cases, it went directly over where I was. And in one case, I felt very strongly that what I was sending, which was, I'm here in love and peace, and I want understanding. That's what I'm looking for. And I felt very strongly that that was being acknowledged. And that's quite an experience when you feel that. And I've always felt that, not in a negative way, but in a very positive way, and an acknowledgement. And another time, again, a craft, it was more like a light, a bright orange light, more than a craft. It was a light, probably way, way up in there, the sky. But it also came in my direction and went right over me. Again, it could have gone anywhere. It didn't. There was no sound. There was no wind, nothing like that. But certainly something was there, and it was friendly.
Yeah.
I didn't fear fear at all, not even a little bit. It was an acknowledgement. And I went, boy, am I in the right track. Wow.
Yeah, right.
And it's such an amazing feeling when you do feel that. Again, I think when you send something out, if you're sending out fear or you're sending out very troubled vibes, I think you're going to get that back. I think that when you're sending out love, unlimited love and understanding, and I want to know you, I want to know more about you and your world or where you're from or what you're about. You feel that energy, that wonderful very loving energy that, and what you said before, that we're all one family, and there's many different looks to our family, but we are brothers and sisters, and I do get that.
Yeah, and they just they don't want to, you know, that that's why, you know, some people can, you know, be in a, you can be in a group of people and some people will see, you know, a UFO and other people won't see it, you know, and so
right.
they, you know, maybe that they're just, they're not ready yet because it would frighten them too much, or it may turn their whole world view upside down, and that, that could be something that, you know, right now and this time wouldn't be right for them in their life path. So, yeah, it's different for everybody, you know, and what they experience and the intensity of it, you know?
Now you had mentioned that there was a book. Have you written a book that's out there on Amazon?
Actually I'm in the process of writing my first book, but I haven't finished it yet, but yeah.
Oh, well, that's exciting. That really is. Please let me know when it comes out. Let me know that. And maybe we could have you either on Zoom or in person when the book comes out, talking about that to the Disclosure Network. That would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, when it's complete, I will definitely let you know.
And I wanted to also ask you, too, as far as your future plans, obviously you've got a wonderful Zoom 3, I think three different kinds of Zooms for people. And how do they find you, or how do you find them? How does that work?
Well, right now, find me through my email, and I'd be happy to let people know. If you want to get in touch with me and if you want me to send you the link for the Zoom meetings, it's a registration link. And so you can reach me through my email, which is ufoetexperiencers@gmail.com. And I, if you email me, I would be happy to send you the link to any of those groups or all three of them. And I can also be I can also, they can also find me on Facebook. And the three groups are Safe Space Sharing Group and Spiritual Experiencers. So they can find me on Facebook through either one of those groups.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, good. I'm glad we took care of that, because I'm sure there's people out there that, that are excited and they want to know more. And that's a good way to communicate.
And
we covered a lot of wonderful ground. What else now? Talk to me.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. So if they want to also, if they're interested in the IANS, International Association of Near-Death Studies, and their sharing group, you can always go to IANDS.org, and they are about all these different topics of spiritually transformative experiences. And like I said, we have the new UFO ET NDE sharing group on the first Wednesdays. And those are free. The sharing groups are free, so anybody can join them. And we'd love to have you. We'd love to meet you.
Excellent, excellent. That's wonderful that it's open like that. I'm sure that you're going to get some people that have been looking very hard for something like this, and now they will be able to take the next step. And that's very important, not only for them personally, but for all of us, because the sharing of information and the confirmation of some of the experiences are very healing, as you had mentioned before, and we need that, and more people need to know that what they're experiencing, other people have, and that they're not alone, and that they can share that, they can They can research that, and there's people who are there for them. Now, that's a huge step in the right direction. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that this is available and that this is actually taking place. That's a big, again, a big step in the right direction. I feel as though we're in the most exciting time we could possibly be in on this whole subject. This is just mushrooming, as you know. It's just going on so many different levels. How do you feel about that? Is this like an exciting time for you as far as what this the subject matter?
Oh, yeah. This has been really exciting for me, especially over the last couple of years. And I feel like it just keeps going and it's growing. And, there's just so much interest in this. I was on a panel this morning, and I was one of three speakers on a panel for IANS again. But there was over 60 people that signed up to listen to it. So I know that there's such an interest in this topic, and I know there's so many people out there that have had experiences where they've seen a craft or they've had some kind of, you know, paranormal experience or you know, a spirit, you know, connection or, you know, things like that. And it's just a wonderful time to be here, even though the world is a little crazy right now. It's also, there's so many good things happening too. And so I'm just so glad to be part of this. And I can't wait to see, you know, where it all goes. And I hope that, I have a feeling that there's so many of us out there that, you know, that have been afraid to talk about this subject because of fear of being ridiculed and but now I think the time has come where it's like, okay, let's start talking about this really, you know, and that's just so exciting.
Yeah, it certainly is. That's an understatement. It amazingly so. And you feel as though you're at the right time, at the right place. And it's a very powerful feeling. It really is like you're being tapped on the shoulder and saying, okay, go for it. Go for the truth.
Yeah.
Now, recently, as you know, the government in the United States, for one, has opened up the subject matter quite a bit because we went from total denial on a very aggressive level that, no, there's nothing to it. Forget it. Don't even look in that direction. No. There's nothing to see. Move on. That type of situation. And that was going on for maybe 75, 80 years. Of complete denial. And people like us who knew the truth could feel that there's a lot more out there were just being poo-pooed and said, oh, you know, it's just your imagination. There's nothing there. Move on. That type of thing. And now they're taking, I won't say major steps, but they are opening the door a slight bit. I think that's fair to say they're beginning to open that door of information. Do you have any feelings of the motivation of, like, why now? Like, why are they doing that now?
Nick, we're at the six-minute mark, just to let you know.
Oh, we are. Okay. If you could, just quickly, if you'd answer that, do you have any feelings on that?
Well, I kind of feel like they know that there's no way they can get out of it. That is,
okay.
Free to it or not, they better get on board. That's my quick feeling about it. So,
I agree with you. I think that's exactly right. I think, just want to say thank you so much for this amazing hour. I enjoyed this interview so much, and you made a lot of good points here. And I think that people will be very much appreciative of what you've been saying and the acknowledgments you've done. So thank you so much, and please do come back on my program. Please do.
Thank you so much, Nick. And can I just say one more thing about where people can find me? I forgot to mention it, too.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. I have two YouTube channels. One is called UFO ET Experiencers, same as my group, And that's on YouTube. So whatever meetings I have, I put on there. And then also they can find my second group at Spiritual Experiencers, and that's on YouTube also. So they can watch any of the meetings and with the speakers that I've had if they would like to. So I invite
anybody.
To do that. Thank you.
Wow. All right. So this is Nick Curro for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightened journey as you connect the dots to seek truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay safe, and be very, very kind to one another. Much love to everyone everywhere, not only on this planet, but far, far beyond. We are all part of an immense intergalactic family in this vast master universe. So please remember that and act with love and kindness and compassion always. Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night. Many blessings. Thank you.
Oh, we're out.
Oh, is it off?
Yeah. Usually Hercules will make a statement at the end, and he didn't do that. I was waiting for him to do that, and I don't know why he didn't. Hercules, can you hear me? No, he clicked off. All right, anyhow.
A minor glitch. Okay, so we had two small glitches.
Okay.
But they were fixable, so that's a good thing.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Catherine, for an awesome and thought-provoking show. And thanks to our audience for tuning in, whether you called and you waited patiently in the queue or whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, and good night.
Good night, everybody. Much love.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We did it. Take good care, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.